James, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13.
My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here is a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favouritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Let's keep your Bibles open there at James chapter 2. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Father God, we pray now as we approach your word that you would quieten our hearts, that you would prepare us for what you have for us this morning. And we pray that you would guide my words then, that they would not be mine, but yours. Convict us of the ways in which we have shown favoritism, so that we might better honour you and the sacrifice you have made for us through your Son. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Equality has become a bit of a buzzword in our society, hasn't it? There are a number of groups that are seeking this elusive balance in our society that they refer to as equality. The trouble is that when our culture speaks about equality for one group, it's usually at the expense of another. For a long time, our democratic society has drowned out the voices of many minority groups within our population, simply because they haven't historically had the numbers to make a significant difference to any kind of vote. And so in a well-intentioned but misguided attempt to right this wrong, we are seeing the agendas of more and more minority groups being elevated over and above the majority. An example of this that's very close to our heart is how the church is now being treated in our society. Since the time of the Federation of Australia, the majority of the Australian population has identified as Christian. And so to combat this perceived inequality, our culture is now giving more and more airtime to minority groups in the media and among popular culture than those with faith in Jesus. The world's understanding of equality is to elevate the views and concerns of whoever they believe the victims are over and above any other group. But this should never be the case in the church. Our nation is a nation that prides itself on being multicultural and extremely diverse. We celebrate the vast array of differences among those who call themselves Australian. However, it feels a bit like this well-intentioned desire to acknowledge all of our differences is stopping our culture from focusing on what we have in common as Australians. And sadly, the same kind of thing can and does happen within the church. You have faith in Christ Jesus, then you've been united through Christ's life, death, and resurrection. You are now a member of the body of Christ. Regardless of nationality, age, your financial situation, or your gender. If we're in Christ, then we are exactly equally in Christ, because we have all had our sins equally paid for on the cross. And yet we can so easily divide those who've been united by Christ when we impose our own subdivisions within the body of Christ. And this isn't always a conscious thing. Often without thinking about it, we might show preference to those of God's people that we find easier to get along with. We might show preference to family members or friends we've known all of our lives. We might show preference to those who've been members of this church the longest or who grew up in this community. We might show preference to those who have helped us out when we really needed it. We act in these ways, and if we're honest, we'll recognize we all do at different times. We establish our own self-imposed subdivisions within the body of Christ, and we divide those that Christ died to unite. And that's what James is addressing in today's passage, as he warns all believers not to show favoritism. So in verses 1 to 7, James warns that when we show favoritism between followers of Jesus, we show how little we understand what Jesus has done for us. In verse 1, James says that on the basis of what Jesus has done for us, there should be no favoritism or special treatment within the body of Christ. It doesn't matter whether you have a criminal record or whether you've been an incredibly upstanding citizen of our community all of your life. We've all fallen short of God's standard of good. We've all sinned against God, and we've all sinned against others, no matter who we are. Now, some sins may be more obvious and more offensive to the public. No one is innocent before God. And so if we're among those who profess faith in Jesus, we are all equally dependent on the sacrifice that Jesus paid for our sins. We're not dependent on our position in the community or in our bank balances or who we're related to. Because all of those measurements are measurements that our secular society uses to decide someone's worth. Now instead, our worth as individuals should only be in Christ and not in anything of this life. Sadly, in the early church, it appears that some have been showing preference to those who they saw were more beneficial, maybe to themselves or to the congregation. James says in verses 2 and 3, suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here is a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? It's a subtle and slippery slope, isn't it? It's a trap that's very easy for us to fall into. These early believers had rationalized what they were doing, no doubt. They could have easily been thinking to themselves that this rich man was someone who was in a position to give to the church financially, and in doing so, could have opened a lot of doors for that congregation for the gospel. They may have thought that having a rich and powerful man in their congregation would make following Jesus more attractive to those outside of the church. They have also thought that, that looking after this rich man, they might have gained something for themselves. James says in verse 5, "Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him?" James is saying that, saying, why are you honoring one brother or sister in Christ over another, based on standards that are set up by the world around you, not by Christ? We know that this world judges success in this life on things like the car we drive, the house we live in, our standing in the community, and other things like that. But God doesn't care about any of those things. It isn't the rich and the powerful whom God has called to himself through Christ Jesus, because the rich and the powerful rarely see their need of salvation. They already think they have everything they need. No, it is the poor in spirit whom God has chosen to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom that he promised to those who love him. And so if we are all members of one body, united through Christ, then we should do everything we can to avoid showing favoritism within his church. Verses 8 to 13, James warns that when we show favoritism between followers of Jesus, we break Jesus' command and we violate the law of love. Jesus was once asked by a teacher of the law, we read about in Matthew 22, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." In verse 8, James explains that if we are not treating everyone within the body of Christ equally, then our motives and our actions are no longer being Christ-like, because he has commanded those who would follow him to love our neighbors as ourselves. And none of us would want to be treated as less important than anyone else. These early believers probably thought they were only acting in the best interest of the church. They probably thought that by showing favoritism to the wealthy and influential, they were building up a congregation that was economically and socially able to attract more people to itself. While in reality, they were actually dishonoring those that Christ has died for. And in doing so, they were breaking a direct commandment of Jesus. As those who have been saved through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we know that we are not people who have earned up any kind of favors with God because of good service. As we know that if we have broken any of God's commands ever, even in our distant past, we are guilty of breaking God's standard of faith. And so if, as those who have received the mercy of Christ, rather than any kind of favor, if we show favoritism within the body of Christ, we are guilty of judging without mercy based on the standards of the world around us. And in doing so, we bring judgment on ourselves. And so James warns them, the early church, and us, that we are not innocent before the Lord if we show favoritism between those in the body of Christ. Now, as we think about these verses and think about how we can apply them to ourselves, there are a few things that we need to understand about what James is and isn't saying here. James isn't saying that it's wrong to us, for us to provide special provisions for the elderly, or for those in our congregation who have a specific need. He isn't saying that it's wrong for family members to care for each other's needs in a special kind of way, because they are family members and are especially responsible for their family members. He isn't saying that it's wrong for us to honour those who have served faithfully in the church for many years. In fact, in 1 Timothy 5, it says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double, especially those whose work it is preaching to preach and teach." And also in Romans 13, the Apostle Paul says that we are to give everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour. From this, we can conclude that if someone has served faithfully in the church, then it is right for us to show them the respect and honour that they deserve. But it doesn't provide us with an excuse to show them preferential treatment over anyone else within the body of Christ. Because if we are in Christ, then we are equally in Christ, because we are all equally dependent on his sacrifice in our place. No amount of faithful service in the church could ever hold a candle to what Jesus has done for us. And so if we want to honour the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us, apart from any good works we've done, then we should do our best to avoid showing favouritism to anyone within the body of Christ. And of course, that is going to be much easier to say than it is to do. There will always be some within the congregation that we find easier to talk to than others. There may be people that you feel indebted to because they've helped you out when you've really needed them. You may have family members within the congregation and lifelong friends who you are loyal to. But if we allow any of those things to change the way we love and care for each other as the body of Christ, we are not loving our neighbour as ourselves. And we are dishonouring the sacrifice that Christ has made for us. God shows no favouritism among those who trust in him. The Apostle Peter says in Acts chapter 10, "I now realise how true it is that God does not show favouritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." And so if God does not show favouritism among those who trust in him, then the very definition of what it looks like to act godly towards our brothers and sisters in Christ is to treat everyone within the body of Christ equally, just as our Saviour has commanded us to do. So how do we do this on a practical level? Well, for us to think about it, I've got a few questions for us all to reflect on. When we meet together, do we tend to gravitate towards the same people, those who we find easier to talk to or who we have more in common? Do we avoid talking to people because of unresolved disagreements, avoiding them instead of spending time with them, and heading towards those who find it easier to get along with? Are we looking around, making sure that no one is left on their own without anyone to talk to? At our church meetings, do we allow loyalties to family or old friends influence the way we make decisions? When we're thinking through a decision that's being made, do we think about how it will affect everyone within the body of Christ? We give everyone the same amount of grace or benefit of the doubt. when we feel wrong? Or do we allow ourselves to feel more easily offended by some than by others? There must be no favoritism among those who profess that they have been saved by Christ's sacrifice in our place. Because having faith in Jesus and showing favoritism are simply incompatible. We live in a world that's full of favoritism and discrimination, but we are not of this world. And our values of believers is not in what our culture says that we are worth. Our values as brothers and sisters in Christ is what God was willing to pay for each one of us. And if Jesus didn't play favorites, then neither should we. That's Father God, these are really challenging words. Really challenging for all of us, because it's so easy for us to head towards the people that we find easy to get along. So easy for us to be caught up in loyalties that we don't even realize that are there a lot of the time. Lord, help us not to show favoritism among those who you have redeemed to your blood. Help us to treat each other equally as loved by you and redeemed by you. Convict our hearts, Lord, and direct our actions, that we might love our neighbours as ourselves, and that we might bring you the glory and the honour that you deserve. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.